Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 20, the Dynasty of Puru, text number
2.
We're just going to read, I'm just going to read the translations because there's no purpose. King Janmanjaya was born of this dynasty of Puru. Janmanjaya's son was Prachinvan, and his son was Pravira. Thereafter, Pravira's son was Manushu. And from Manusu came the son named Charupada. The son of Charupada was Sudyu. The son of Sudyu was Bahugava. Bahugava's son was Samyati. From Samyati came his son named Ahamyati, and from whom Rudrasva was born. Rudrasva had 10 sons named Riteyu, Katsheyu, San Sadandiyeshu, a lot of U's in there, Kriteyuka, Jaleyu, Santateyu, Dharmameyu, Satyeyu, Rateyu, and Vaneyu. Father and mother must have something about U's in there. Of these 10 sons, Vaneyu was the youngest. As the 10 senses, which are products of the universal life, act under the control of life, these 10 sons of Rudrasva acted under Rudrasva's full control. All of them were born of the Apsara name Ritachi. Ritayu had a son named Rantinavu, who had 3 sons named Samati, Dhruva, and Apratirata. Apratirata had only 1 son whose name was Kanva. Sukadeva Goswami must have had a very good memory. We probably spend days trying to just learn some of these names. But he only heard them once. The son of Kandva was Medatiti, whose sons, all Brahmanas, were headed by Praskana. The son of Rantinava named Sumati had a son named Rabi. Maharaj Dushmanta is well known as the son of Rabi. Once when the king Dushmanta went to the forest to hunt and was very much fatigued, he approached the residence of Kandva Muni. There he saw a most beautiful woman who looked exactly like the goddess of fortune and who sat there, illuminating the entire ashram by her effulgence. The king was naturally attracted by her beauty, and therefore he approached her, accompanied by some of his soldiers, and spoke to her. Seeing the beautiful woman, the king was very much enlivened, and the fatigue of his hunting excursion was relieved. He was, of course, very much attracted because of lusty desires, and thus he inquired from her as follows in a joking mood. O beautiful lotus-eyed woman, who are you? Whose daughter are you? What purpose do you have in this solitary forest? Why are you staying here? O beautiful one, it appears to my mind that you must be the daughter of a Kshatriya. Because I belong to the Puru dynasty, my mind never endeavors to enjoy anything irreligiously. Purport. Maharaj Dushmanta indirectly expressed his desire to marry Shakuntala, for he appeared to his mind to be the daughter of some Kshatriya king. Shakuntala said, I am the daughter of Vishvamrita. My mother, Menaka, left me in the forest. O hero, the most powerful saint, Kandva Muni knows all about this. Now let me know, how may I serve you? Purport. Shakuntala informed Maharaj Dushmanta that although she never saw or knew her father or mother, Kandva Muni knew everything about her. And he had heard from him that she was the daughter of Vishvamrita and that her mother was Menaka, who had left her in the forest. O king, with eyes like the petals of a lotus, kindly come, sit down and accept whatever reception we can offer. We have a supply of Ivara rice that you may kindly take, and if you so desire, stay here without hesitation. Text 15. Shri Dushmanta Uvacha Upapanam Idam Subru Jataya Kashi Kanvaye Swayam Hi Vrinute Ragyam Kanyaka Sadrisham Varam. Shri Dushmanta Vacha. King Dushmanta replied, Upapanam, just befitting your position. Your position. Your position. Your. Idam, this. Suburu. O Shakuntala with beautiful eyebrows. Jataya, because of your birth. Kushika Anvaye, and the family of Vishwamrita. Swayam, personally, he indeed, Rinute, select, Ragyam, of a royal family. Kanyaka, daughters, Sadrisham, are an equal level. Varam, husbands. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O King Dushmanta, King Dushmanta replied, O Shakuntala, with beautiful eyebrows, you have taken your birth in the family of the great saint Vishwamrita, and your reception is quite worthy of your family. Aside for this, the daughters of a king generally select their own husbands. Purport. In her reception of Maharaj Dushmanta, Shakuntala clearly said, Your Majesty may stay here, and you may accept whatever reception I can offer. Thus, she indicated that she wanted Maharaj Dushmanta as her husband. As far as Maharaj Dushmanta was concerned, he desired Shakuntala as his wife from the very beginning, as soon as he saw her. So the agreement to unite as husband and wife was natural. To induce Shakuntala to accept the marriage, Maharaj Dushmanta reminded her that as the daughter of a king, she could select her husband in an open assembly. In the history of Aryan civilization, there have been many instances in which famous princesses have selected their husbands in open competitions. For example, it was in such a competition that Sita Devi accepted Lord Ramachandra as her husband, and that Draupadi accepted Arjuna. And there were many other instances. So marriage by agreement or by selecting one's own husband in an open competition is allowed. There are eight kinds of marriages, of which marriage by agreement is called Gandharva marriage. Generally, the parents select a husband or a wife for their daughter or a son, but Gandharva marriage takes place by personal selection. Still, although marriage by personal selection or by agreement took place in the past, we find no such thing as divorce by disagreement. Of course, divorce by disagreement took place among low-class men, but marriage by agreement was found even in the very highest classes, especially in the royal Kshatriya families. Maharaj Dushmanta's acceptance of Shakuntala as his wife was sanctioned by Vedic culture. How the marriage took place is described in the next verse. The purpose of marriage is to produce good children. So, somehow or another, if good children are produced, then the marriage is proper. But in the present age, where people are whimsical, their purpose is not to produce good children, but simply for sense gratification. Therefore, marriage has to have certain requirements. Amongst those who are so elevated, born in such a family as the Puru dynasty, like King Dushmanta, and what to speak of Shakuntala, whose father and mother were Vishvamrita Muni, who was able to meditate for 180,000 years. And an apsara, to become an apsara, also requires extremely large amount of pious credit. So, the Menaka, Vishvamrita, and ultimately Shakuntala and Dushmanta, they were all elevated personalities with higher consciousness, and they're undoubtedly their children would be exalted. You don't meet so many ladies nowadays who fill the room up with effulgence, nor do you meet any men who fill the room up with effulgence. Matter of fact, you don't find anyone with any effulgence nowadays. Which effulgence is an indication of some piety. The ojas is stored because of not dissipating one's consciousness into sense gratification. So these personalities were able to produce, as we'll find out, exalted persons. Although we'll also find out, well, exalted persons, and these persons were so exalted that Krishna, I don't know if this is too loud there, Krishna personally appeared in their family. Krishna doesn't appear in the back streets of Ljubljana. He appears in greatly pious amongst greatly pious families. So, in one sense, this is what this is leading up to describe the great personalities who are ancestors of Krishna. And at the same time, they give us an indication the material life, no matter how exalted it may be, is ultimately quite dissatisfying. We don't find anyone, hardly in the Bhagavatam, who lives happily ever after. They all ultimately, if they had intelligence, they eventually renounced the material world and became elevated, more elevated by meditating on Krishna. Still, this is realistic. In every age, the whole material world is based upon sense gratification. Pumsa, Striya, Maituni, Bhavametam. There's always romance in every age, even in Satyuga. Man meets girl, girl meets man, they fall in love. And in Kali Yuga, man meets girl, girl meets man, some other boy comes, girl meets boy, falls in love with boy. Boy fights with other boy. And it's a mess. And everyone doesn't live either happily or ever after. But previously people weren't simply, they were interested in good progeny. Because good progeny brought more opulence than just arbitrary sense gratification. Good progeny brought, first of all, soldiers for one's family, which could defend the family and glorify the family. And after death, then if one went to Pitriloka, if they went to Pitriloka, then one would be able to have good sons who would be able to perform the sacrifices to keep them in the heavenly planets. But nowadays, children are just like a burden, expensive hobby, we could say. Others could say they're useless eaters. They're nice to play around with when they're 1 or 2 years old, because they don't say very much. They just go, Google, Google. You can play with them like you can play with clay. They don't know what's going on. But when they grow up, nowadays they don't become so malleable. They have their own ideas, and they're usually the wrong ideas. And when they grow up, they think, as the parents think their children are useless eaters, so they also grow up and think their parents are useless eaters. Try to put them away somewhere. They don't help them or protect them. They put them away in some home where they're just neglected. So, unless one has good children and raises them in Krishna consciousness, one cannot expect the children to turn out to be devotees or have any devotion or any good qualities. And therefore they become what's called Varna Sankara. But here we don't find Varna Sankara, although we'll find out that this marriage, there was no engagement. Dushmanta didn't give Sakuntala engagement ring. They didn't meet with each other for 6 months and decide that they didn't like each other. Or they liked each other and decided to get married. No, it was love at first sight. But it wasn't irreligious because there was some quality there. Of course, we'll find out in some verses here, it appears that it was what they call in America a one-night stand, and that the king left and left her pregnant, and she had a son, and that was the end of the story. She had to go beg welfare from the forest residents. That's not, because they were exalted persons, it wouldn't end like that, nor would such a story make it into the Bhagavatam. There has to be some kind of better plot to the story than that. But anyhow, I'll keep on reading here. When Shakuntala replied to Maharaj Dushmanta's proposal with silence, the agreement was complete. That's an easy way of getting married. You don't have to call the priest, you don't have to invite your relatives. It doesn't have to be a big feast you have to pay for. You just have to agree. Then the king, who knew the laws of marriage, immediately married her by chanting the Vedic Pranava Omkara in accordance with the marriage ceremony as performed amongst the Gandharvas. Simple ceremony. But we can't imitate that. We get into a lot of trouble. You meet someone on the street and you say, "Hey, would you like to marry me?" They go, "Yes." Om. Such marriages wouldn't last very long. I have an experience with one of my disciples who got married like that. It didn't last. Purport. The Omkar Pranava, I guess he must have got at least he read the ninth canto or something. It didn't do him very much good though. The Omkar Pranava is the Supreme Personality represented by letters. Bhagavad Gita says that the letters AU Om combined together as Om represent the Supreme Lord. Religious principles are meant to be invoke the blessings and mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, who says in Bhagavad Gita that he is personally present in sexual desires that are not contrary to religious principles. The word vidina means according to religious principles. The association of men and women according to religious principles is allowed in Veda culture. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we allow marriage on the basis of religious principles. But the sexual combination of men and women as friends is irreligious and is not allowed. I think that's one of the current things going on now. People don't want to get married. They remain as friends. As I mentioned before, but it's not always a nice story, a true story. One of the devotee ladies, she was living with a devotee man for 30 years. And they had, I think, 4 children. So one day she went to her mother and said, "We decided to get married." And her mother grabbed her hand and said, "Are you sure he's the right man?" So this is common nowadays. Not very cultured, but it's common. And therefore it's acceptable, because whatever is common in society, people accept as standard. However, but they don't know the consequences for it. King Dushmanta, who never discharged semen without a result, places semen at night in the womb of his queen, Shakuntala, and in the morning he returned to his palace. Thereafter, in due course of time, Shakuntala gave birth to a son. In the forest, Kanva Muni performed all the ritualistic ceremonies concerning the newborn child. Later, the boy became so powerful that he would capture a lion and play with it. That's nice. If you're in a forest, you have no play, you have no toys. At least you can capture a lion and play with it. That's the advantage of being powerful. You can play with lions and tigers and have a lot of fun. Shakuntala, the best of beautiful women, along with her son, whose strength was insurmountable, and who was a partial expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, approached her husband, Dushmanta. When the king refused to accept his wife and son, who were both irreproachable, an unembodied voice spoke from the sky as an omen and was heard by everyone present. So we may wonder, what was the character of King Dushmanta, who was supposed to be so elevated? His wife and children come. His child is an partial incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His wife was the daughter of Vishvamrita Muni and a very exalted apsara, Gridachi, and yet he refused to accept them. And he was the king. It wasn't that he didn't have enough money to support them. So what's going on? So we'll find out. Maybe we won't, so you can come back tomorrow. No, we'll go through. Purport. King Maharaj Dushyanta knew that Shakuntala and the boy were his own wife and son, but because they came from outside and were unknown to the citizens, he at first declined to accept them. Shakuntala, however, was so chaste that an omen from the sky declared the truth so that others could hear. When everyone heard from the omen that Shakuntala and her child were truly the king's wife and son, the king gladly accepted them. So this is, we can't expect such treatment. Nowadays, if some lady who has a son by some man approaches the man and says, I'm your wife and this is your son, and he says, no. Usually no voice, omen comes from the sky and says, actually it's true. you're out of luck in Kali Yuga. Therefore, one has to be careful in such relationships so that they produce good children and the husband and wife are loyal to each other and they support each other, especially in their development of Krishna consciousness. Then it's a nice relationship. Otherwise, there's so much disturbance in every relationship. Prabhupada said that man is good, the woman's good, but often the combination is not so good because they're two different mentalities. But if they're nicely trained, which they're not in Kali Yuga, people are not trained how to be a good husband and wife. As a matter of fact, if you want to find out what the chances of success in marriage are, the most obvious thing in a horoscope is you look at the sun and the moon in the horoscope. Because if the sun represents the father and the moon represents the mother, if they're in a good position and they have good association, then generally the father and mother had a good relationship with each other. And if the father and mother had a good relationship, that's how the child from his birth learned about relationships from his father and mother, between men and women. And therefore they were most likely to try to exemplify a good relationship that they learned from their father and mother. But if the sun and moon are afflicted, if the child had no father, or the child had no mother, or the mother and father got divorced, or they fought with each other, they didn't like each other, etc., then it's ever likely that that's how the child learned about relationships. and they're much more likely to follow in those that particular mentality in any kind of relationship they have in marriage. Of course, one can learn in Krishna consciousness, but one should want to learn what a proper marriage is. But then you have to have good examples. Without a good example, either in childhood or in adulthood, it's very hard to learn anything. We can learn about theoretically, but if you learn, you have to learn from someone who actually has experience, who has knowledge, and then it's more likely to have some effect. Virajan Prabhu was saying in the remembrances of Srila Prabhupada, him and his wife were in Hong Kong. His wife, Mother Jagatarini, she was an actress before she joined, and she was in just rather had a good future. She was very young, Mataji, when she joined. And she was in some rather, you know, playing in some movies with some rather famous personalities like Mick Jagger from the Rolling Stones, etc. But she joined the movement, and shortly after that, Prabhupada asked her to get married to Virajan. Now they're completely different personalities. I mean, she's from Australia and he's from Brooklyn. They have some similarities, but they were very different. In any case, then Prabhupada sent them to Hong Kong. Hong Kong is probably the most materialistic place in the world, which is hard to imagine how materialistic it could be. In any case, they were living there for years trying to preach to the Chinese, who were more or less atheistic. At best, they were Buddhists, but not very much interested in devotional service. In any case, they struggled for many years, and Prabhupada came to visit them a number of times. And at one time, because Mother Jagatarini wasn't trained up to be a submissive wife, and Virajan Prabhu wasn't exactly the most sentimental, affectionate, I forget what they call it, feeling husband. And therefore, she was telling Prabhu it's very hard to, you know, be submissive. So Prabhu, and I wasn't trained like that. So Prabhu said, well, if you hear a good thing, if you hear a better way of doing things, why not accept it? And by Prabhupada's potency, it rang a bell in Mother Jagatarini, and she accepted it. And they're still married even today. So, somehow or another, training has to be there. It's expected that Dushmanta, and even Shakuntala, she was living in a forest. There wasn't any videos. There was no internet. She wasn't on Facebook. She didn't get any likes on her YouTube channel. She was living in a forest, rather simple life. And Kanva Muni was a great sage, so she learned piety from the very beginning of her life. Had to perform sacrifice for Vishnu, because that's what sages do. And Dushmanta was born in a great family and was trained from the beginning of his life. And therefore, it was expected that their children would, their relationships would be quite transcendental and sattvic, and at the same time their children would be exalted. And that's what we'll find out in our next verse. So thank you. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I would like to ask, now these days I see devotees who get married, and it's obvious that they will not have children. So is this bona fide?
I mean, in Kali Yuga, practically anything is bona fide. I mean, if they stay together and they follow the principles and they try to help each other in Krishna consciousness, then that's good. I mean, anything that helps Krishna consciousness in Kali Yuga is considered positive. Anything else? The only rule in Kali Yuga is that there are no rules. Hardly any. And there are things that are more favorable, that's all. So we accept things that are favorable for devotional service, and we give up things that are unfavorable. So if it's favorable for devotional service, then it's acceptable. Anything else? Khala Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.